Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
On the first day of October, cookbook author and TV host Chrissy Teigen and her husband, musician and activist John Legend, shared some heartbreaking news on Twitter and Instagram. Teigen posted a black and white photograph of her crying in a hospital bed, grieving the miscarriage of their third child. In the post, Teigen stated, "We are shocked and in the kind of deep pain you only hear about, the kind of pain we've never felt before." She went on to share that she and Legend had been calling the baby Jack. "To our Jack," Teigen wrote, "I'm so sorry that the first few moments of your life were met with so many complications that we couldn't give you the home you needed to survive. We will always love you." The news was met with an outpouring of love and support for the couple and inspired many on Twitter to share their own experiences with miscarriage grief. One user posted, "I'm so sorry for your loss. My wife and I have been through the same, and it's the worst thing in the world." Another shared, "I have traveled this destitute and dark path twice. You now belong to a club that no mother desires to be a member of. The dues are too costly and painful. You are not alone." And actor Kate Beckinsale shared her own story, posting on Instagram, "Years ago, I lost a baby at 20 weeks. I'd managed to keep my pregnancy quiet, and I absolutely collapsed inside, and no one would have known. Thank you, Chrissy Teigen, for making sure. It is abundantly clear how devastating this is." Unfortunately, Teigen's post was also met with blowback, demonstrating the discussions around pregnancy loss can reinforce miscarriage stigma. Dr. Sunita Osborne is another woman who's been open about her experience with miscarriage. Dr. Osborne is a psychologist and couples counselor, and she has experienced two miscarriages. She used her life experience and her professional expertise to help others through the grief that can come with pregnancy loss. Her book is called The Miscarriage Map, What to Expect When You Are No Longer Expecting. Dr. Osborne, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Allison.
Listeners, we would love to hear from you. What do you wish more people understood about miscarriage? Have you been inspired to share your miscarriage story after seeing Chrissy Teigen and John Legend? We want to hear your story. And partners, we'd like to hear from you too. What was it like to grieve a miscarriage without having been pregnant yourself? Did you feel your grief was acknowledged? Our phone number is 646-435-7280. If you want to call in, 646-435-7280. Of course, you can always post to Twitter or direct message us on Instagram. Same handle for both, at @OlivetWNYC. And just to note, Dr. Osborne might share some thoughts with listeners, but of course, her comments and answers do not constitute professional advice. May I call you Sunita?
Yes, please.
So Sunita, what was it like for you, someone who's been very open about your miscarriages, to see so many people sharing their experiences on social media in the past couple of weeks?
You know, for me, it's been incredibly empowering to see all these stories being shared, because I know just the profound impact it can have on you to be able to share your story and be able to see it met with care and support and messages of you are not alone. I think that's what's so powerful about Chrissy Teigen sharing her story, especially the raw aftermath of it too, to let you know that in this devastation, this heartbreak, that it is completely okay to not be okay, and that there are so many of us out there who are just waiting and wanting to give you that kind of support. So I think for myself and for a lot of people I've spoken to as well, it's been incredibly empowering, and it feels just very connecting as well.
Well, most people online voice support for the couple. There were people who said they didn't really understand sharing it on social media. One tweet that circulated a lot was from sports journalist Jason Whitlock. He tweeted, "I don't understand this or social media. Who takes a picture of their deepest pain and then shares it with strangers? Do other women parents want a reminder of their deepest pain, the loss of a child? Is everything just social media content? Help me understand." All right, so we'll be as generous as possible. Let's help him understand how posting about an experience like this can be helpful to other people. What does he need to understand of people who share his thoughts?
I think what he needs to understand is that for a lot of us, the stories we hear about miscarriage and pregnancy loss is we typically get to hear the story years later with a happy ending. We hear the story of like, yes, I went through this and this is where I am now. We don't get to hear a lot of stories about the raw, the real, the heartbreak, the reality of being in a hospital, not being able to go home with your baby. And that's the stories that we as women and people who've experienced miscarriage, we need to hear that to feel understood. We need to know that sometimes the happy endings or whatever else may not be realistic for us, because that is actually where we are at right now. I think as a society, we really struggle to experience actual loss and trauma, and that's what this is. So we need to be able to hear that to fully understand and grasp the reality of our loss. So the raw, the aftermath, it's maybe it's not pretty, but it's true. And that is what we need to hear in these kind of moments, to know that we are truly not alone and that it's okay to not be okay in these moments.
My guest is Dr. Sunita Osborne. The name of her book is The Miscarriage Map, What to Expect When You Are No Longer Expecting. You've been very candid about your own personal story. Would you share it with our audience?
Yeah, of course. So my journey began in 2018. My husband and I decided that we were ready to have kids, as ready as we were ever going to be. And I think, like so many different people, we thought it was just going to be this wonderful journey that we decided to get pregnant. Hopefully it happens soon. And then there's just our happy story. And what we learned, it was nothing but it was not going to be simple for us. While we did get pregnant relatively quickly, we found out that we were having a miscarriage about 9 weeks into our first pregnancy. And honestly, it was devastating. It was completely shattering to me. And it was actually what inspired me to write The Miscarriage Map, because I looked around and I didn't see a lot of resources. I didn't see a lot of resources for people who had experienced this, who were feeling completely lost without an idea of what to do. So I started writing. I started writing, and I kept writing as my story evolved as we became pregnant again in 2019. And then as I had a second miscarriage in 2019. And I think what felt really important to me was not to shield any of the nitty-gritty details of what I was experiencing and what I was still struggling to understand even. One of the chapters in my book is called Why Is This Really So Hard to Be Around Pregnant People After You Experience a Miscarriage? And just those kind of raw feelings that you experience, and being able to write and get connected with people who've also experienced this kind of loss has been incredibly helpful for me. And it's made me really just passionate about having conversations just like this, where we can keep talking about miscarriage and pregnancy loss.
You write in the introduction to your book, a question you often asked yourself about your miscarriage was, am I making this too big? For anyone who may have asked themselves that same question, what's your answer?
Yeah, so it's a dangerous question. And I think it happens when we start to look at that kind of comparison monster, as I call it sometimes, that idea of I start to compare my insides to other people's outsides, which can take us down a very scary route, where I start to look at myself as I did on the inside and start to think, oh my God, I am falling apart. And somehow I know this happens to other people, but they seem to be okay. And right now we have so many ways to look at people's outsides from social media and other types of platforms that it can be really easy to judge ourselves, shame ourselves for what we are experiencing. So what I would tell people is first to know that you are not alone and what you're feeling. It is okay to not be okay, to be falling apart and everything else. And to know that, again, as much as you can, the comparison may be automatic. And at the same time, what you're feeling is true. It is genuine and it's normal as well, too.
Let's take a call. Alexa has called in. She's online, too. Alexa, thank you so much for calling All of It.
Thank you so much for having this conversation. It's so important, and to do it just smack in the middle of the day on the radio in New York City is just helping kind of destigmatize and get the topic out there. So thank you. I wanted to talk about, I've had a lot. I mean, I still struggle saying the number of miscarriages that I've suffered, but it was over 5 years before we had our child. And as the people around me in my life had also gotten married around the same time and had their first child and then were having their second or were pregnant. And somewhere along those 5 years, I decided to start answering people honestly when they were asking, like sometimes kind of curious and sometimes I hadn't seen them in a long time, like, oh, are you guys thinking of having children? You know, first I would say, oh, we're working on it, or like, oh no, we're just like enjoying being married. And eventually I just started being honest and looking at them and saying, you know, we've had 3-4 losses and we're trying and we've run into difficulty, or it's been really difficult, you know, I just miscarried last week or whatever. And I think that it really opened the door to people learning how to handle those conversations and support me, and also a way of my asking for support without having to say, please ask me how I'm doing. And additionally, I have really felt called to speak out as someone who has experienced this over and over to people when they're going through it, to encourage them to be more honest, and also for people in just in the world who comment, you know, when about someone else who's gone through this, just that I have found that it's really important when I was going through it to feel supported, that people did ask me how I was going, or mm-hmm. ask me what stage of the process I was in. So I'm so lucky that we got through it, and after a lot of different avenues, have a child now. But thank you so much again for having this conversation.
Alexa, thank you so much for being so candid and sharing your story. I want to go to Lisa from Paramus, New Jersey, who's actually pulled over to talk to us, because she's got a little bit of perspective, because she had her first miscarriage 20 years ago. Lisa, thank you so much for pulling over and for calling in.
Thank you. I just want to say I am applauding anybody that has a platform that can speak out, because this is, it's a horror. It's something that unless you experience it, and even though I've experienced it three times, my pain is very different than everybody else's, because mm-hmm. it just is. But I understand, and I embrace the fact that they're open and honest, because I wish at my point when I went through it that somebody opened their heart and really listened and told me that I'm going to be okay. My husband was going to be okay. Only after the first time it happened, my mother's peers, who were at that time in their 50s, three of them came forward and told me that it happened to them. And at their point, they it was almost considered a shame that you lost the baby. And I experienced it three times. The first one, my husband and I really, we had support of our family and friends, and that was great. But he and I were able to get through it and try mm-hmm. again to have another child. And then it happened again. And it was amazing between 2 years how the hospitals were more equipped to manage people like us and help us grieve and allow us to grieve. Mm-hmm. They allowed us to hold our baby. They allowed us to have our family come and meet the baby. They allowed the baby, us to have that mourning. And that mm-hmm. was tremendous difference between the 2 years. And then the third time, it was even more, they embraced us even more and helped us again. And again, I applaud Chrissy Teigen. I applaud anybody. I applaud you for writing a book. That's all I have to say. And I appreciate that you allow me to express my feelings, because when I was listening, it was amazing how my mind went back. My mind goes back daily.
Of course.
Different things mm-hmm. trigger it. But today, I'm also so grateful, and I thank you for the time.
Lisa, thank you so much. Thank you for pulling over and sharing your story. And please drive safely. My guest is Dr. Sunita Osborne. She wrote the book, The Marriage Miscarriage Map, What to Expect When You're No Longer Expecting. And Sunita, you call grief of miscarriage a disenfranchised grief. What do you mean mm-hmm. by that?
Yeah, so disenfranchised grief is a type of grief that's not readily accepted or understood by society. So that could be the grief of miscarriage, pregnancy loss, certainly. It could be the grief of if I have a ex-partner who dies, or even just the grief of infertility and not being able to become pregnant or have the family in the way that I would want it to. The challenge with disenfranchised grief is that oftentimes when people hear that we've experienced this loss, they don't quite count it as a real loss. So if I say something like my parent has died, people will certainly understand that. They'll sympathize. They'll give me support and condolences. But when you share that you have a miscarriage, people don't know quite what to do with that. They don't understand it. I mean, they may not even accept it. They may just think, well, you know, that's hard that it happened, but at least you can get pregnant again. And I think the challenge with that is it causes us to start questioning our grief. It goes back to that question again of, am I making too big a deal of this? Because it seems like my community isn't making that big of a deal of it. They don't even really think it's real. So it can be a really scary and very invalidating experience when our grief is not accepted by those around us.
You make an interesting point that something that can be particularly difficult about miscarriage is that you're immediately forced to consider medical realities before mm-hmm. you have any space to grieve. How does the necessity of medical procedures and discussions with doctors right after receiving the news of a miscarriage, what impact does that have on grief or trauma?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of pieces there. One being, after we hear the news that you've experienced a miscarriage, it's very normal to go into a trauma response because it truly is a reproductive trauma. And when we are experiencing a trauma response, we can shut down, we can disassociate, become numb. And then when we're in that state of complete detachment, we're asked to make all of these very significant decisions about, do you want surgery, do you want medication, things like that can have long-term effects for us. So for a lot of people, first, it can just be really challenging to even answer those kind of questions because they're not even completely processing fully. The second part of that is that by being asked to make those decisions, which I understand why they're being asked that, but at the same time, by being given almost no time to sit and acknowledge this huge loss you've just learned that is completely life-altering, it again reinforces the message that this is routine. This is normal. This is just another procedure you have to do now versus this is something that is truly life-shattering you for this moment. So again, I think it can just reinforce that message to someone of, did this even happen? Is this even real? Is this even mm-hmm. a big deal at all?
Let's go to Jack on line 4 is called in. Jack, thank you so much for calling All of It.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you for this opportunity. If you'd like for me to share, I had a similar loss to Chrissy Teigen. I lost my baby just shy of 23 weeks, a week shy of viability. I went into preterm labor, and I ended up delivering a baby that I knew would not survive. And that was 2 years ago this month. And, you know, it was interesting because I didn't announce my pregnancy on social media. And my first response to my friends and family was, thank God you didn't make an announcement. And I thought to myself, is it easier to tell 100 people individually that I just lost my baby? Because it's not. And to me, that communicated that I should maybe be ashamed or maybe I should just keep it to myself. But of course, when you're 5 months pregnant, most people know already. So I decided that on my due date, I was going to make an announcement on my social media. And I did. And what I was met with just completely blew me away. So many people came out of the woodwork from all facets of my life to show support and to share their stories, both publicly on my page and personally with me. And what actually ended up resulting was I started a supper club composed of mostly women who I didn't know. Some I met on the internet. Some were friends of friends. And I would cook once a month for about 10 to 20 women. And to a lot of people, it sounded really depressing, a bunch of women going through fertility challenges all together. But it was actually some of the most fun evenings I've ever had with friends that became my friends for life, because it really is, it's a club that no one wants to be a part of, as you mentioned, but it really is the most wonderful, supportive group of people you'll ever meet.
Jack, thank you so much for calling in. My guest is Dr. Sunita Osborne. The name of her book is The Miscarriage Map, What to Expect When You Are No Longer Expecting. Sunita, some people believe strongly in the 12-week rule that one should wait at least 3 months to tell people about a pregnancy because most miscarriages happen in the first trimester. Now, this might be controversial for some people, but you reject this practice. Why?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do. And I can understand people's reasons for wanting to hold that. And at the same time, what I've experienced, what I've seen a lot of other people experience is that we need support. during that time, not just in the second or third trimester when it seems like it's safer, but we need support when we're scared and when we're anxious and when we're unsure about the future. And we certainly need support if we do experience a loss as well, too. So you have your people already right there who know what you've been through and can support you readily. So it's something I feel very passionately about, that if you feel comfortable, if you have support people in your corner, to be able to share with them whenever you feel ready, so that they can be there with you when you need them as well, too. You know, a lot of people have spoken about just that feeling, the comfort, the connection, and we need that when we are in grief and when we are in loss, and even just when we're feeling anxious and uncertain about the future. So I just think that idea of depriving ourselves of our support when we need it the most is just a really painful thing to have to go through.
What if you and your partner are having really different ways of mourning or coping with the trauma? As I mentioned in the intro, you're also a couples counselor. What advice would you have to couples who are experiencing this together, but experiencing it very differently and dealing with it very differently?
Yeah, that's such a good question, because it happens so often. I think a lot of times partners really hope and expect that their partner is going to respond the same way that they're going to the grief, because out of everyone in the world, they're the person who shares this grief with them the most acutely. It's their loss as well. But what we see most often, I certainly experience with my husband as well too, because of our backgrounds, our history of trauma and loss, our cultural backgrounds, we experienced it very differently. And what I would tell couples who are experiencing that is a couple of things. First, I think it's really important, as much as you can, to try to approach your partner with compassion and curiosity, to get a sense of, you know, how are you experiencing this? What does this loss mean to you? What do you think your history has done to impact the way that you're understanding this loss? The second piece is to be able to share with your partner very specifically what you need from them. A lot of times with our partners and just with anyone in our life, they want to help us, but they have no idea how to actually do it. So being able to actually explicitly say to my partner, hey, when we get news like this, I really need you to not go straight into the positivity or the optimism. What I need in those moments is for you to say, I am so sorry and I'm here with you right now, or to hold my hand, whatever else it is you need. So I think, again, being able just to be curious about their experience while also advocating for what you need in those moments.
What advice can you give family and friends who want to be supportive, but who maybe are struggling with what supportive looks like?
You know, part of the way that you just asked that question is so helpful too, because part of it, again, can be them approaching the person they love who's experienced the loss with compassion and curiosity by asking, like, you know, what would support look like from me? I want to help you. And part of that can be even be making suggestions. Would it be helpful if I did? Can I come see you? Can we just sit in silence? I can distract you. I want to be able to help you, to be able to give that invitation. The second part, I think, is just as helpful, to be able to avoid saying certain things that can be hurtful or invalidating. So, for example, at least statements is something I always tell people to try to avoid. Yes, at least, like, at least it happened early. At least you know you can get pregnant. Anything that kind of initiates a silver lining, which I know is probably done with the best of intentions, with optimism. And at the same time, it tells me that I don't really have space to be sad right now. I'm supposed to be happy. I'm supposed to turn my frown upside down. When right now, that frown, that sadness makes all the sense in the world. So some of the feedback I would give would be to be able to sit with the person and what they're feeling, and to work with them to get a sense of what can I do to help you, because they may not always know either. So trying to figure out what's that support going to look like that I can offer.
First of all, thanks to all our listeners who called in, ones who were able to share on the air and ones that we weren't quite able to get to in this conversation. Also want to thank Dr. Sunita Osborne. The name of the book, in case you're interested, is The Miscarriage Map: What to Expect When You Are No Longer Expecting. Dr. Osborne, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much, Allison, and thank you so much for having this conversation.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them. because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.